From Troy Public Radio, this is In Focus, and I'm Carolyn Hutchison, working in my home studio. People have wondered how Alabama's southern border came about and why it didn't extend to the Gulf Coast. Gulf Coast history stretches back centuries, and historian Mike Bunn joins us by Skype to sort it all out. He is author of the new book, 14th Colony, The Forgotten Story of the Gulf South During America's Revolutionary Era. He also serves as director of historic Blakely State Park in Spanish Fort, Alabama. Historian and author Mike Bunn, welcome back to Troy Public Radio. It's been a while.
It has, but I really, really enjoy the opportunity to come on and talk with you. Good to talk with you again.
Mike, I want you to take a look at the map of Alabama. People are always wondering why the state boundaries don't run all the way to the Gulf Coast. Do you have an explanation of that?
Well, I do, but it really all boils down to the fact that the Gulf Coast was controlled for a long time in the 1700s by Spain. It was actually part of a Spanish colony, which came after British West Florida, which is what my book is about. But there was a Spanish West Florida. And the short answer to that is that the United States acquired portions of that colony in piecemeal fashion. And the portions that became part of Alabama and Mississippi were acquired between 1811 and 1813 during the War of 1812. And the other portion was still Spanish a little bit longer. So that's why you've got this little division of what was a colony of West Florida that's shared between the states of now Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida.
So now we have the explanation, thanks to you, Mike Bunn. Now, Mike, your latest book is called 14th Colony. How many people ever knew that we had more than 13 colonies back in the late 1700s?
I would venture to say not many. It's sort of a lost footnote to history that we were a colony here on the Gulf Coast, a British colony, just like the colonies that were in rebellion. And there were actually other colonies. East and West Florida were created at the same time. So I used the title 14th Colony because it gets your attention. If you say 14th, that automatically implies there's something extra than the original 13. And there were more than just the 13 colonies. And down here on the Gulf Coast, we were British colonies just like everybody else, that they just chose not to join in the rebellion.
One thing your book talks about is explaining why that whole area, that whole region, was such a political hot potato.
It really has an interesting history that goes back to the fact that France had claimed it for a long time. Spain had claimed part of it for a while. And when the British created the colony of West Florida, they created it in territory that had both French and Spanish heritage. And incidentally, it was also being developed right amongst us various Native American groups. So from the get-go, it was a diverse region with a more complicated backstory than some of the other colonies. And the whole dynamic of colonial empire building and Native American relations with Europeans and traders and international ports, that was already part of the region's backstory before they even created it. So I always found that a particularly interesting facet of West Florida's history.
Advancing forward, when did the state lines get settled, and what was behind that?
Well, the state lines for Alabama got settled in their totality at statehood, or rather, when the Mississippi Territory was divided into the state of Mississippi in 1817, and then the Alabama Territory, which obviously became the state of Alabama in 1819. But the boundaries came together over years. The first portion of Alabama that came into United States possession was basically the southern half of Alabama and Mississippi. That was the original Mississippi Territory. And there's a long story about why that area was chosen that has to do with some of the topics in the book. But that was the original Mississippi Territory. Then everything from about roughly Montgomery up to Tennessee was added to the territory in 1804. And then the Gulf Coast portions where Mobile lies and to the west, Pascagoula in that area, were all added right around the era of the War of 1812. So that's how you get the piecemeal kind of building of what became Alabama. And those boundaries were set and finalized in their specifics at the time of statehood, but they have their roots in this colonial era.
Mike, let me ask you about January 7th, a special date in history. What do you know about it?
Well, this is an anniversary of a battle, the largest Revolutionary War battle in Alabama, which I would venture to say that's not a lot of people know about. But on that date, January 7th, 1781, the British attacked a Spanish outpost that was located here in Baldwin County, Alabama, where Daphne and Spanish Fort sit today. And they were attempting to take back the city of Mobile, which they had just lost to the Spanish in this long, complicated, but really interesting campaign of warfare between the Spanish and the British that was a part of the American Revolution. Now, the British lost that battle, and Spain secured their control of the Mobile area and then immediately began their plans for a final campaign on the British colonial capital of West Florida, Pensacola, right after it. And when that was all over in May of 1781, they had essentially conquered the entire province by conquest. And so that's how British West Florida's days ended. So the battle at the village, 1781, is something that is significant for a lot of reasons. And I just thought it was a story that more people ought to know about.
Since you became director of historic Blakely Park in Spanish Fort, Alabama, a few years ago, have you found out anything that surprised you about this area's history?
Yes, the Spanish forces that were protecting that garrison, roughly 200, a little bit less than 200 people, the British attackers in the neighborhood of about 500. So it involves some fairly significant numbers as far as Revolutionary War era battles on the Gulf Coast. Now, the casualties, each side had about 15 to 20 that were killed and a similar number wounded, few taken prisoner on the British side. So when you compare that to the other revolutionary battle that was fought in Alabama when the Spanish actually captured Mobile, there was just one lone soldier killed. So several times more casualties, even though the outcome is still nothing on the scale of Civil War battles, but significant. That was a major military action that occurred right on Mobile Bay. The fact that this area had been claimed by three different European powers long before it ever came into American control is just a unique aspect of this portion of Alabama that a lot of other areas don't share that level of history with colonial era. And then when you mix in the Native American heritage, and here I'm at Blakely, which is a historic park that interprets not only the early Alabama town of Blakely and the Native American heritage and the colonial heritage, of course, were most famous for being the site of Alabama's largest Civil War battle at the Battle of Fort Blakely. So when you put all that together, it's just really, really intriguing for somebody like me who cares about history, because there's just so much that's there. And there's a lot of it that we're just a little bit hazy on. The general public is hazy on some of these dates. Most people know there was a colonial era. They know some of these things, but they don't know how each era fits together and when individual people were here and what happened. And so it's really fun to investigate this and to share these stories with people.
Mike, it's been such a pleasure visiting with you by Skype.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Joining us by Skype was historian Mike Bunn, director of historic Blakely State Park in Spanish Fort, Alabama, and author of the book, 14th Colony, The Forgotten Story of the Gulf South During America's Revolutionary Era. Thanks for joining us today for the program, which is now a podcast on the NPR.org website as In Focus with Carolyn Hutchison. This is listener-supported Troy Public Radio.